Welcome to Keeping It Real's podcast, where we believe in real hope, real love, and a real God. We pray that this message encourages you and builds your faith. Now here's Pastor Reggie Green III.
I simply want to kind of just go over a little bit what the message was on Wednesday, but also introduce another addition to this short two-piece series about, and that'll be covering the power of hope. And how many know we do live in a generation where, in a time where a lot of people are losing hope? You know, it's interesting. I asked my wife to look up the definition of hope, and it had this actually graph where, I don't know, it's been many years, but the use of the word hope in books has declined. And I thought that was very interesting, especially, you know, hearing that through news and sometimes through people, is about losing hope in government, losing hope in people. And I believe we experience that. Maybe you're here today and you're experiencing that right now. You're losing hope. You don't have hope for your situation, your life, or your future. Maybe some of you haven't. You're in a good place right now, but you have experienced, and we also will experience time and time again hopelessness. And sometimes we feel that things cannot change, things cannot get better. So we're going to discuss that. But I want us to kind of just highlight, to review the things that we're supposed to do when we experience something that's natural and it's a part of life, and we experience is disappointment and discouragement, right? We all experience that at different times, and we might be experiencing it now where we're discouraged and we're disappointed, and that is a crucial time of your life. Because people do kinds of, when you're discouraged and you're disappointed, some people do drastic things. Some others kind of just pull back and reserve themselves and stop pressing in life. They lose hope. They start saying things about themselves, about their situation, that are not true. And so there are two things that you and I, or a number of things, but we talked about two things that is important when it comes to this season of your life. When you're disappointed, when you're discouraged. And I like using the word season because it's only a season. How many know in the kingdom of God, it's a season of life? Don't ever come to a point in your life where you come to this conclusion, it is permanent. Maybe a condition, maybe a relationship coming to an end, those things might be permanent, but it's not over for your life. And just because something comes to an end, just because something comes to a close, doesn't mean it's over for you. It's definitely not over for God, and God is capable to bless you now, later, whenever. And so there's something, one of the things that we talked about, what we had highlighted the story in Judges chapter 6, and the Bible is talking, it's in a time when the nation of Israel is being severely oppressed by the enemy, severely oppressed. At every time they plant and they try to grow some crops, the enemy just comes through and devours the crops. And the nation of Israel is at a place in a moment of their life now where they're hiding. They're hiding in mountains. They're hiding in caves. They're hiding from the enemy. They're not experiencing the blessings and the power of God. And it was linked to their disobedience. But the Bible says for 7 years they're experiencing this. They can't move forward no matter how hard they try. They're just in a broken place, in a desperate place, a disappointed and a discouraging place and season of their life. And so God begins to move, and he begins to happen to address this man Gideon. And the Bible says in Judges chapter 6, it says, the angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites. And so he was hiding because, you know, as they were coming through and devouring the land, it says now he was hiding, trying to protect what he had left. The Bible says, when the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. And so one of the things that we talked about is that during this time is when you're in discouragement and you're in disappointment and you're in that season of a life, that it's important to surround you with people that can speak life into you. That when you are going through something, ain't nothing worse than being around someone that continues to pull you down or gives you the wrong direction or insight on what you're supposed to do. How many of you experienced that? You had that friend when you were just down and out, and they told you the best thing for you to do was to get into another relationship, or the best thing for you to do is to get drunk, is to get high, is to be something that you necessarily didn't want to do, but that was their advice to you. Or you might, sometimes you're surrounded by people that when you're, when you're broken, I don't need you to tell me how much of a dog I am. I need sometimes, and I already know. I mean, we beat ourselves up. We do a good job to say, that was dumb. I shouldn't have done that. And the last thing we need to do is have those around us continue to pull us down. And so it's important to have people in your life that can see past that, that even though you may have made a mistake, you may have come to the wrong conclusion, that they can speak life into you. And here, this is what the Lord is doing to Gideon. This man is broken, he's lost, but God, the Lord is seeing right past through all that and says, you know what, I'm not going to say that you're a weak person, a weak-minded person. He says, no, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. And here's something that tripped me out. I began to think about this story of Gideon. And what was interesting is that Gideon makes this response to him as the Lord is trying to encourage him. He says in verse 15 of the same chapter, he says, pardon me, my Lord, Gideon replied, but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. And this just blew me away because this is the description of himself. That number one, I'm part of the weakest clan in the nation of Israel. And number two, I am the weakest person in my clan. Have you ever felt like that? Like, I'm just like, man, life is just going so bad. I feel the least of the least and the worst of the worst. And I began to backtrack on this guy's story. And if you look back, in particular, his tribe, they had made some previous mistakes. They had made some bad decisions. And just read his story. You look back, and one of the ones was thinking they were better than everybody else. One where God wanted them to drive off the enemy in their land, but they didn't do that. They kind of pulled back, and they experienced some heartache because of that. Now they're here, they're hiding because of the sin they committed and because they chose not to follow God. And so now his description is this, is that I'm in the weakest clan, and I'm the weakest in my clan. But what tripped me out is, as I begin to go further back, the tribe of Manasseh, he was, if you guys know a little bit of Bible history, is that this guy Manasseh was the firstborn son of Joseph. And do you know who Joseph is? Joseph single-handedly saved his people. He was the same one, we preached about it a couple times. He was the same guy, right, that got sold into slavery by his brothers, and then he grew and rose up in his master's house, but then he's accused by the master's wife of trying to sleep with her and take advantage of her, and so now he's thrown into prison, and here he's in prison. He's being faithful to God, trusting God, but he's in a nasty old prison, but one day, overnight, the Pharaoh has this crazy dream, and only Joseph can interpret it, and because Joseph can interpret it and tell him what these dreams mean, he becomes the second in command all over Egypt. And this is what God began to drop in my heart, that this man was so defeated that God had to remind him who his great-granddaddy was. And he reminded, you are a mighty warrior. And I can't but help but to think, do you know who your great-great ancestor is? He is Joseph, and I was with him, and because of him, he saved his people. And I believe today that God is coming to remind you who you belong to. Do you know who died on the cross for this world, who single-handedly set the whole world on a different direction? Do you know who loves you and has your back and paid the price and knows and holds the whole world in his hands? And sometimes we come in here and we act like we are the part of the weakest clan and we are the weakest in the clan. But I want to remind you today, change your identity. And sometimes when you're so confused in your life and you're so messed up and beat up in your own mindset that you know what you got to live by? Stop living by the words that you're speaking and live by God's word. And so this is what the Lord was doing to him. He had to remind him multiple times, you are a mighty warrior. Well, I'm the weakest. You are a mighty warrior. Well, I got this. You are a mighty warrior. You belong to my people. I am your God. I am your king. Do you know what I'm saying today? And so when you can't come to the right conclusion, and maybe you're sitting here today and those are the words running through your mind, I want to simply start thinking about what God says about you. That you are his son, you are his daughter. You belong to the King of the Most High. You belong to the Lord of Lords. And God has a plan and a mission for you, just like he had for Gideon. And he says, I want you to go in your way. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to go before you. I'm going to help you and strengthen you. If you know the story of Gideon, even though he in his own mind thought he was the weakest, God used him as a deliverer for his people. A man who was once hiding was now being used to do great things for God. And so I want you to understand this, that it's important about who do you have in your circle? Who's speaking into your life? What are they saying about you? Are they encouragers? Are they speaking truth into their life? Are they helping you? Are they seeing beyond your own frailties and your own mistakes and saying, speaking better things in your life? You got to get some people like that. And if you don't help them, I pray that you would find them. If you don't have them, I pray that you would find them in this church. And I hope that we could be those very people, that we would start there, that we would be the very people that when people come, they're broken around us and they're hurting around us, that we'd be those people that speak life, speak a powerful word into their situation. Let me know what I'm talking about today. We need that. Those are the type of people that God has called us to be. We also looked at the importance of number two was coming to the right conclusions. Because many times in that state, in discouragement and disappointment, we can come to the wrong conclusions about relationships. If you ever gone, right, you know there's some people that maybe they've gotten married, they've gone to a divorce, or maybe they were dating and something bad happened, and they're like, I'll never date again. Or, you know, I remember when me and my wife got married, how many people were like, why are you getting married? It's just going to end up bad. Someone was real surprised that we've been married for six years. And I'm like, but that's the generation we live in. That's the type of culture we live in. And a lot of times those people that were saying those very things to us were the very ones that had experienced discouragement in their relationships, in their marriages, in their dating life. And I come up to help but to think that they came to the wrong conclusion, that even though they experienced some loss and some pain and some hurt, it was not over for them, but in their mind, it was. In their mind, it cannot get better. In their mind, that was it. It wasn't going to work out. And some of us have experienced that in different areas of our lives. It doesn't have to be just in relationships, but sometimes we come to the wrong conclusion about who you are. I'll never change. It'll never get better. It'll never work out for me. And we highlighted two scriptures, and it was in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 19. We know the story, won't get all into it, about how God came to Abraham and told him to sacrifice the promised son, Isaac. He had promised him a son, and finally Isaac was here, and they were enjoying him. And all of a sudden, God says, and the Bible makes it a point, it says to test Abraham. He says, I need you to sacrifice your son. And I'm pretty sure it was difficult for him, but he was going through it. He trusted God. And one of the things in Hebrews chapter 11, 19 says about Abraham is that Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead. And so in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac from the dead. So Abraham had came to his conclusion, even though God was telling him to do this, he came to this conclusion that if I have to go through with this, God is so mighty, so powerful, that he could raise my son from the dead. And there are times in our lives when God is telling us to be obedient in a particular area, and we won't do it. We won't follow through because we're afraid of what might happen. And so we reserve. We say, nope, I can't do that. The price is too high. It's going to cost me too much. But God is telling us, we both know, we all know, like, hey, I need to be obedient in this area. But because I don't, a lot of times we don't let it go. A lot of times we don't follow through and stay obedient to God because we're afraid of, if we do this, this person might leave. What if it doesn't work out? But it's important for you and I to come to a different conclusion. How about this one? That God, if I got to let it go, maybe there's something better for me. That God, you're telling me to be obedient, then I must understand. If you're telling me to let this go, then you got something better in store. There's something you're working out that's deeper in my life that I don't see. And in Matthew chapter 9, verse 21, we know the woman of the issue of blood. She was sick for 12 years, just bleeding through her body. Spent money on trying to get well, on trying to get healthy, but nothing could fix her. And in Matthew chapter 9, verse 21, she heard about Jesus, and the Bible says she said to herself, if only I touch his cloak, I will be healed. I love that statement because she came to a conclusion. And how many of you tried years after years trying to fix something? Time and time, it doesn't work. It's not fixing it. It's not changing. But if you can come to the conclusion today that if I can touch the Lord this afternoon, if I can touch the Lord in my life, then I'm going to be all right. And this is what this woman came to. She was sick in her body, but because she came to this conclusion that if I just touch his cloak, if I just touch the thing that he is wearing, then I'll be healed. And because of that conclusion, she pressed in, crawled her way, fought her way through, did not care because she understood that if I get to where Jesus is at, he's going to heal me. See, this is the other powerful thing about coming to a right conclusion is that it will press you to get to him. Because if you conclude in your mind that if I stick to the Lord and I get a word from him and I touch him and I get a hold and I get in his presence and I get in his house and I'm around his people, if that is your conclusion, then you can do everything that you can to get into the house of God. You can do everything that you can to get to his word, because I've come to the conclusion in my mind That if I get a hold of Jesus, he'll give me direction. He'll give me wisdom. He'll give me insight. He'll teach me where to go on what to do. He'll help me overcome addictions. He'll help me be a better person, a better father, better husband, wife, boyfriend, girl, whatever it is, I will be better if I touch him. Does that make sense today? And so you got to come to the right conclusion. You have to come to the right conclusion. Get to the Word of God to find the right conclusion so you can understand. And maybe some of us today are living according to a wrong conclusion, and God wants to change that. He wants to renew your thinking, bring some life back into you. And this now goes into our next part, is the power of hope. Is the power of hope. A lot of times the word hope is not a strong word, I don't think, nowadays. It's more like, well, I hope it works out. I hope God will bless me. I hope. And it's almost used in this way of, it sounds kind of weak. It's almost hoping, but you know it ain't going to work out. You ever been in that moment? Like, I hope it is, but I know it ain't going to work out. You know, like the fight last night, I was like, man, I'm hoping Canelo will win, but I think Triple G, but Canelo pulled it out. But it was like this hope, but I think he's going to win it. And sometimes we live like that. I hope that it's going to be like this, but it's probably going to be like that. It ain't going to work out. But in the kingdom of God, we've got to change our thinking on that process, because the hope, when it comes to the word of God, is not used like that. It is a thing that you can use and have with confidence and with boldness. It's not a hope like the world's hope. I love this NFL season's back into play. If you're big sports fans, one of the interesting things I love about sports, and it's kind of I think some people can take to the extreme, is a lot of times your day is wrapped up in how your sports team does. I mean, I'm talking about if you're a sports fan. It's kind of weird. It's like, you know, you're rooting for someone, and yet when that team loses, it can ruin your whole day. And people get mad the whole day, get angry, start punching holes. And I got some friends that punch holes in the walls when their team lose. Because there's all this is wrapped up into this sports team. It determines the joy. And it does. It has an effect. I don't think you should go around punching holes in the wall and things like that. But I ain't going to lie. You know, it could ruin your day. Your hope, it can make the best day of your life. Your team wins. You think you won the lottery and your team won. It feels like that. And if you're a Canelo fan, I know you enjoyed the night. And it made something different. It made you feel a certain way. But there could be hope in that. There could be hope in money. There could be hope in a relationship, a hope in a job, a hope in a person. But how many know those things are temporary and they're conditional? They're based off of a lot of times how they make us feel. And a lot of times those very things that we put our hope in disappoint us at some point. Our teams won't always win. That person won't always be on the top of their game. That job may not necessarily always be there. Your bank account may not always be that full. But there's a hope that we have that is powerful, and that is the hope that we have in the Lord, that we have in His Word. And I suggest that if that is not the center of your joy, then you make it the center of your joy. Then that becomes your hope. Let that be the primary mission of your life, that Jesus is your only true hope. And everything else is secondary. You'll enjoy it on a Sunday. You'll enjoy it on a game night. You'll enjoy it around your friends. But this one here will keep you anchored, keep you strong, and keep you solid. And in Hebrews chapter 6, you may know it. Chapter 13, we'll finish off in this scripture. One more, but this is the focus for today, is that Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13 says that when God made his promise, again, as we talked about Abraham, he says, to his promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself. He said, I swear on my mama. You know, you ever done that? I swear on my mama. It's someone greater than you. And usually for the most part, if you swore on your mama, that was something you weren't going to break. You know, I don't know if it works like that anymore. But here the Bible is saying is that since there was no one greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself. He said, I swear on me. There ain't no one greater than me, and so I'm going to let you know that I'm going to make a promise to you, Abraham, about your son, about your descendants, about what I'm going to do in your life, and I'm going to swear on me because there's no one greater than me. I swear on myself that I'm going to do this for you. Saying, verse 14, I will surely bless you and give you many descendants. And so after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. This is all tying into hope, but the next thing, number three, that we do when we're discouraged and we're disappointed, is that you have to wait patiently. A lot of times in discouragement and disappointment, We're impatient. No, we got to fix it. I can't this. And we're in this season. I got to, and we start trying to figure, I got to fix this. This hurts too much. Or I got to do this. I made a wrong decision here. So, and we're in this cycle of trying to fix this mistake, trying to fix this disappointment, trying to stop the pain and stop the hurt. But sometimes you got to let it do what it's supposed to do. It's in that moment, in the between time, as we had preached on before, in this moment between the prayer and the answer, that there's this time in between that's filled a lot of times with disappointment, discouragement, longevity. It's taken a while before what God has said that he was going to do in your life before it coming to pass. It's some time in between that. It doesn't happen right away. And so you and I have to learn the art of being patient. If you know the story of Abraham, that he did kind of get impatient and he ended up causing a whole mess in his life. But then he learned his lesson. The Bible points it out that after waiting, now waiting patiently and learning, he received what was promised. And so when you're discouraged, when you're disappointed, be patient. Slow down. Something didn't turn out right. It didn't work out right. Reevaluate. Get to God and say, Lord, I'm disappointed. I'm discouraged. It didn't turn out like I thought. It didn't work out like I thought. I made a mistake and it's costing me right now. Be patient in the Lord. Be patient in the Lord. Wait on him. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15. Check this one out. It says, this is what the sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel says. He says, in repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your salvation. But you would have none of that. A lot of times when you're discouraged and disappointed, could it be that God is just trying to get your attention for you to slow down? And number one, he says, well, first, repent. Number two, rest. In quietness and trust is your strength. So if you're freaking out, maybe it's something you didn't, then repent and rest in the Lord. Say, God, let me be patient right now. It's a price, yes, it was on me. Maybe it wasn't on me, but I'm here now. I'm disappointed, I'm discouraged, I'm a little frustrated, I'm kind of confused. Well, then rest in the Lord. Take some time. Let that rest, let that peace begin to heal you. Allow your mind to clear, because when you're pain, right, when you're hurt, when you're discouraged and you're in disappointment, you don't come to the right conclusions, and so you got to slow down before you do something that costs you even more or puts you in a bigger hole. Slow down. Rest. In quietness and in trust is your strength. Not in you trying to figure it out and wasting all your brain cells on what to do next. Your strength is when you're in quiet, when you're quiet and your trust, that is your strength. Totally opposite of what the world, totally opposite of what we feel inside. No, we rest, we trust, be quiet, repent. That is where your strength comes from. Number three. And we continue in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 16, it says, continuing, it says, people swear by someone greater than themselves, and the oath confirms that what is said, and the oath confirms what is said and puts an end to all argument. That's a powerful thing about the Word of God, is that the power of the Word of God in trusting what he says is that it puts an end to our arguments. In other words, it should put an end to your worry. It should put an end to your fear. That's the power of it, is that put it to an end. If God, if you know, say, God, you know what? You spoke to me about this, and this is what your word says about this, then leave it there. Stop worrying about it. Stop wasting your brain. Again, wasting your brains. Put it at rest. Put it at peace. God said it, right? Some people say, and that settles it. That's it. It puts an end to all argument. How many use God's word like that today? I know there's some people in here that know how to use it like that, where you're so in tune with God's word that it puts an end to all your arguments. If you're not there, then mature into that. Ask God to teach you how to use his word to where it puts an end to all your worries, all your fears, all your frustrations. Let it end all your arguments and all everything that you're saying that's against what God can do. Let it put an end to your argument. Verse 13, it says, because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, he confirmed it with an oath. God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie. I love that. It's impossible. It's not in his nature. It's not in his character. It's not possible, right? That's pretty cool. It's impossible for God to lie. Even if he wouldn't, it's kind of a weird explanation. But if God wanted to lie, he couldn't, because that's not in his nature. He can't access that. That's not in him. And so it is impossible for God to lie. And it says, we who have fled to take hold, now here it is, we have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. The fourth thing is to be greatly encouraged. When you're in disappointment, right, and you're discouraged, and you might be frustrated, take courage in the hope that is found in Jesus. Take hope in that. The Bible said it is this hope, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. When you're in the season of discouragement and disappointment, you need to be anchored. Because again, it causes you to freak out, to lose sight, to lose your identity, to lose who you are in the kingdom of God. And so what this hope does is when the hope is in the Lord and it's in his character and it's in his promise, it's in his word, then you can be secure in that. It's an anchor that keeps you solid, that even though the waves are going around you and beating on every side and life is not looking like how you planned at this moment, then it's that anchor, it's that hope in the Lord that keeps you focused. Here's a powerful thing about hope, is that hope will keep you going. One of the most powerful things my dad had shared with me, and he was like, Reg, you want to know why I can, I think I had asked him, but he had talking about how do you keep pressing in ministry? Through the ups and downs, people leaving, coming and going, people saying these things, your own battles, and being a pastor and doing things in life. He says, because, and I loved it, he says, because my reward, he says, is in heaven. And that, I was like, oh man. Because a lot of times our hope is here and now. My hope isn't if this building fills up with 300 people. My hope is when we have everything going together, right? But I love that because I was like, that changed my attitude about personally why I do what I do. And I pray that it changes why you do what you do. And as the Apostle Paul had the same mentality that his reward was in heaven. And when your reward and your hope is in heaven, it's in the Lord, how do you know you can push through some stuff? Because it's not based off of whether my check comes through. It's not based off of whether I get this job or not, or this relationship thing works out. I'm still serving the Lord because my reward is in heaven. My hope is in him. It's not in my circumstances. And that is where a perfect example of your hope being an anchor. Because not everything's going to look straight and smooth. And if that is your anchor, then you see beyond that. And the Bible says this, and it continues. It says, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where our forerunner Jesus has entered on our behalf. He has become the high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. In other words, it causes you to look beyond than what's just happening now. This hope, the Bible says, is that it's firm and secure, and it enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain. And if you read it and you learn about that, there was this particular place in the temple that was the holiest of holies, and only priests could get in there. And not just any priest. I mean, it wasn't like an exciting thing to get into the holies behind this curtain. It was where the presence of God dwelled. And so there was all kinds of rituals and things for this priest to get in there. Because if he wasn't right with the Lord, he was going to die. And so it wasn't this thing that you just like, oh, I'm about to go to holies of holies and get into this presence of God. No, you had to be right on point. You didn't want to mess around with the presence of God. And it was a place, though, where you would experience the fullness, the reality of who Jesus was, his greatness. It was only for a select few of people. But this is the power of Jesus, that when he died on the cross, he allowed us to come boldly, as the Bible says, into the presence. You know, that's an awesome thing. And so the Bible says that this hope allows us to go into this place, the holies of holies, allows us to go into this place where the presence of God is at, where his peace is at, where his joy is at, his power is at. Here's the powerful thing about hope, is that your hope, man, when it's in the Lord, it brings you into the presence of God. And when your hope is linked to him, when it's linked to his word, it will always bring you peace. It will always bring you to a place where you're face to face with God, because you stand alone and say, Lord, my hope is in nothing else but you. And that's why you have to understand the power of hope in your life. Where is it placed? What do you hope in? Where is all of your trust? Who has your life in their hands? Because it matters. It's not just, oh, I hope and I wish. No, this is a hope that we can have in the Lord that is solid, it is sure, it is unchanging. It allows us to be encouraged. It keeps our soul firm and secure. This is the type of hope that we have access to today. And I pray that in the moments of discouragement, the moments of disappointment, that your hope would rest solely and squarely in who Jesus is. His character, his unchanging nature, his hope, his word, his faithfulness, the fact that he's always good, he's always loving and always just, and that his love is always perfect. Let your hope rest in there. It'll keep you anchored, it'll keep you solid, it'll keep you focused. And I'll close with this last scripture, and I ask the worship team to come today. One of my favorite scriptures in the Word, and it's David talking about his hope. In Psalms chapter 27, verse 13, he says, I remain confident of this, that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord and be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. And New King James Version says, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And I love that. I love his words. I love this scripture. One of the things that keeps me through. You ever have that scripture in your life that just keeps you going for some time? It's one of these for me is this scripture right here, is that to remain confident of this, that I will see the goodness of the Lord. And sometimes you got to let that resonate in your soul. The hope, that's the type of hope that we have, is that I will see the goodness of the Lord. I remain confident of this, that I'm going to see it. And the hope, that type of hope, you can have that hope in God, and you can be secure in that. And that when you say, I hope God is going to do something, you can say it's, you can have the type of mentality that it's going to happen. It's not that, well, I hope and I hope things would change. It's no, when your hope is in God, it's secure. It's solid. It comes to fruition. Your life will change. Your mind will change. The breakthroughs will happen. The blessings do happen. And I pray that these things, you would take these and you would use these things in the moments of your life when you're discouraged, when you're disappointed. Don't come to wrong conclusions. Hope in the Lord. Get around some people that will help you, that would speak life into you, that speak joy into you, that would point you to the Lord and say, man, keep going. Woman, keep going. Keep living for him. Keep pressing in. Keep doing what God is calling you to do. Don't quit. Keep fighting. Keep pressing through. Don't lose the hope that's in your Father in heaven. And at the end of everything, as our pastor had wonderfully said, our reward is in heaven. Our reward is in heaven. I wonder if that is your mentality today. That it's not based off the hope, it's not based off what is here and now, but in your mind and in your heart to say, my hope is in this, that my reward is in heaven. When you have a mindset like that, you're going to press through a lot of things, because this life will come to an end, things will come and go, but the one thing that remains is the Word of God, is Him. That is where we will spend eternity. That's where we will spend our life. And so don't sell your life short. Don't cut it too early. Don't come to the wrong conclusions. Don't count yourself out yet. Keep going. Keep pressing in. Keep trusting God. Keep believing God. Keep holding to his word. Allow it to change you and to bless you and to encourage you. Can we do that today? Come on, let's bow our heads this afternoon. Lord, I pray today, God, that we would take your word and we would use it in our life. I pray that we would be a people that press through and overcome disappointment, that overcome discouragement. I pray that we would put our hope fully in you. Help us to see that our reward is in you, our reward is in heaven. We know you will bless us here. We know you will have opportunities for here, but that's on your timing, Lord. That is according to your plan. And so I pray, God, as we learn to wait patiently, as we learn to continue to wait on you and to put our hope in you, Father, that you would strengthen us, you'd give us the mind that we need, the heart that we need to press through this season of our life. I pray, Lord, that we would be the very people that encourage others in this same season of their life. that we'd be men and women, we'd be encouragers, that we would speak life to those that are hurting, that are struggling, that want to call it quits, that want to say it's over and things can't change. I pray you would give us the words to speak to them in that situation. Words of life and hope, of peace, of joy, of things getting better, things improving. We thank you that we have your promises to stand on. And I pray you would give a word to every person here for their particular season of their life. Give them a word to hold on to live off of, to survive on, to mature and to grow in. Give us each here today that word that we need, that scripture that we need, that friend that we need to get us through. I want to pray for those today and you don't know the Lord. I want to tell you today that the Lord is into you. He loves you. But as we read today, your peace, it starts with repentance. It starts with repentance from sins. And when we repent from our sins and we'll humble ourselves from the Lord, we can find rest. We can find peace. We can find joy. We can find hope. But I hope today, I pray today that if you don't know the Lord, you would come to Him humbly, you would repent of your sins, you would find strength in Him. If that's you today, I want to pray for you. If that's you today, say, you know what, I have a lot of sins in my life, I have not repented, I continue to go down the path that I go down. Then I want to lead you in a prayer this afternoon. I'm believing that God's going to hear you. I'm going to tell you today that God will hear you if you mean it honestly and pure before Him. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He died on the cross for your sin. If that's you today, pray with me. Say, Lord, I humble myself before you. And I repent of my sin. Lord, give me the strength to do what's right. I want your rest. I want your peace. I want your joy. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for caring about me. So I give my life to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can we all stand today? Maybe you got to consider some things in your life. Maybe take a moment as we worship, as you pray, that maybe you're in this moment of your life, some discouragements there, and you're kind of just trying to figure out where everything's going. Find rest in the Lord today. Give your mind some rest. Put it into God's hands. Find rest in it. If you got to repent from something, then repent from it. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. I shouldn't be doing this. I need to turn from this. Then find your rest in the Lord. Find your encouragement. Find your hope in Him. But take time. Take time. Stop running and running and trying to figure everything out. That's not what God necessarily wants right now for you, but He simply wants you to come under Him. Put your hope in Him. Say, God, I'm going to let you work this out in me. Let me come to right conclusions. Bring some right people into my life. Help me to put my hope in you. Help me to be encouraged in you. Let's do that today. Father, I pray for every heart. Do your work in our lives. Do your work in us, Father. We need you today. We need your hope. We're tired of running in circles. Lord, help us to find peace in your spirit, God. Peace in your word. Peace in your truth. Renew us. Renew our minds. Renew our hearts. Help us to come to right conclusions about your word, about who we are. We thank you, Father.
Thank you for tuning into this week's message. We hope that you were encouraged and inspired. For more information about our church, visit kirchurch.com or follow us on Instagram at kirchurch.